Society sings the story of money and fame, dangling those before us constantly, like carrots, as though those are the only measures of success. But the soul sings a different story. Today's episode will guide you to uncovering what your soul thinks is success. All today on the Intuition for Changemakers show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you remember that a world on fire is also a world ripe for solutions? Do you feel committed to gorgeousness in your life, this world, and for those who inhabit our planet? Did you know that already inside of you, you have the perfect tool to help you navigate these times, adding positively to your life and the world? Friend, here is the great news. Intuition works at lightning speed, and you were born with it. It's the internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive brilliance for more than a decade. Join me each week on the Intuition for Changemakers show for true stories and tools that will inspire you to harness your intuitive birthright to heal, shine, tend, and nourish yourself and this world. Hello. Welcome, friend. I'm going to start with a freebie alert. Freebie alert. You, regular listener, thank you for being here. You might already know this, but I have a download that is the easiest, the best intuitive decision-making tool I know. It's probably the one I use more than any other for the constant day-to-day decision-making that we all do. My kids use it. I've taught it to other kids. That's how easy it is. It's good. It's easy, as I already said. And it's uber useful, whether you are making a small decision, like which package of socks to buy, that is something my kids have used it for, or for something bigger and more important. And it's downloadable. You know that I care that you understand your intuition is there for you. I wouldn't do this podcast elsewise. So I will put a link to this tool in the show notes. As a reminder, you can text your show comments in. But you know what is even better is if you leave them in a review. That way other people can also see them, and this helps the goodness of our show grow. But you can also text us. So I can read these texts, but I cannot respond to them back. Just FYI. And how you do that is on your podcast app. When you click on the show episode, you'll see the words, "Send us a text." If you are listening on the radio, I still love you, but I'm sorry you don't have this option on the radio, unless you open the Intuition for Changemakers show in a podcast app. So, other updates. I am thinking for this summer, I'm going to be uploading episodes probably every other week. I'm not solid on that, but I like to be flexible in terms of putting out this radio show and podcast, and that is my current plan. So if you don't see me for a week, Don't worry. Also, almost all of the content of this show is evergreen. There are some seasonal issues, but almost all of it is evergreen. On this last new moon, I was with my solutionary students per usual, and I was asking them which lessons they were keen to review. And one of them said, all of them. And she's an alumni, so she's already been through the lessons more than once. She clarified for our class that every single time she looks back or goes through the lessons again, it adds more depth, more insight, more things strike her or land and settle in a different way. So I'm telling you that because I think my podcast episodes should be the same way. The lessons and the tools are evergreen. I've been using them for more than 20 years. And while I know I go quite a bit deeper with my Solutionaries program than we do on the podcast, I still endeavor to make every episode something meaty that you might sink your teeth into. Something hearty, I should say, if you don't eat meat. Something that you might apply in your life to help you strengthen your relationship with your own inner knowing. All that is to say, on the in-between weeks, do not be afraid to revisit certain episodes or all the episodes. Like, for example, episode number 55 called Nature, Your Body, and Your Intuition. It's one I put out in the season that we are now in at another time, but it remains useful now and even in other seasons. So that's all of the housekeeping I have to start with. So let's get started on today's episode. Yesterday, I saw a woodpecker going about its business in a forest, in Olympic National Forest. The forest was silent, but for the river rushing below and the woodpecker, with zero care for me, landed on a tree and was going about its business, checking the wood for spots to collect bugs. At least that's what I thought it was doing. The light was dappling through the trees. The woodpecker was at home. And watching it, I felt this enveloping peace. Like, it doesn't matter how complicated we humans make our world. The struggle, the AI answering all the questions, making all the art, the complexities in which we are embroiled, the striving we feel we must, the questions we grapple with mean nothing to this woodpecker. It is still beyond the drone of our existence and questions, being itself in the middle of a forest. It's almost hard to put into words this moment, the impact it had on me. It's hard to reflect it in syllables. Nothing was happening except me standing in a forest, watching a woodpecker. But the transformation, the harmony, and the calm that suffused my bones, it influenced me. I felt nothing of the burden of being human in this world, and only its right and goodness. I also thought, maybe I would like to run away with my family to a house in the woods where what I did most days was write and watch the peaceful way nature and wildlife goes about its business, unchanged by our shenanigans. It's such medicine. Maybe I too would like to check out of this hubbub and instead truly enjoy this planet and my days on it, instead of constantly being tuned into the way in which our species is destroying each other and this place. I think that is the life that the poet Mary Oliver must have had. I don't know really what her life was like at all, but I do know her poems and the stories she tells in them, which are imbued with the natural wonder of the world, its mysterious, majestic rhythms and magic, and how it can make us right. And I think about her line in one of her poems. It's the last line when she says, "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" I'm going to read you the whole poem. It's called "The Summer Day" by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I love Mary Oliver. And I'm going to read you one more poem from hers because it's also the vibe that I'm talking about here with the woodpecker. And it might be my all-time favorite Mary Oliver poem. It's very hard. I have many, but it's so good. Okay, here it goes. It's from her book called A Thousand Mornings. And the poem is called Foolishness? No, it's not. Sometimes I spend all day trying to count the leaves on a single tree. To do this, I have to climb branch by branch and write down the numbers in a little book. So I suppose, from their point of view, it's reasonable that my friends say, "What foolishness! She's got her head in the clouds again." But it's not. Of course, I have to give up. But by then, I'm half crazy with the wonder of it, the abundance of the leaves, the quietness of the branches, the hopelessness of my effort. And I am in that delicious and important place, roaring with laughter, full of earth praise. Thank you, Mary Oliver. So, standing in the forest with the woodpecker, I rolled it out in my mind, tasting all the bits of my retiring from society. My family in a gorgeous location on a mountainside with nothing but trees and wildlife for neighbors. Waking up to a view and a steaming cup of coffee, taking in said view. I enjoyed it for a moment. I felt the steam, the warm cup in my hand. I experienced the view and how my body feels when I can see great distances in real life. Then I populated my vision with the other core three people who make up my life. I wondered what my husband and children would do up there, removed from our community, up in the mountains, somewhere with birds for neighbors. That led me, of course, to the unlikelihood of its occurrence right now. Sighing, but also already filled up with the goodness and peace of this wild, natural world. I reconciled with the understanding that I probably won't move to the mountains right now. First off, I don't think my family would agree. And secondly, I'd probably be bored and lonely too. I love the way that myself and my family are held by the community we live in, how we weave in and out of it. And I would miss that too. But that moment, there in the forest with the woodpecker and the dappled light and the wild rhododendrons in the first blush of bloom and all the green and leafy coming out again, and the endless movement forward of the river below, that peace that enveloped me was enough. It was the balm I needed. It was the why I went. I didn't know it would be a gift from a woodpecker. I expected it to come from the river, actually. But the gift often arrives in a different package or through a different vehicle or life experience than we imagine. That is part of the mystery. Today, we are talking about success. Not from the standpoint of our society, which is a shallow story that we are inundated with at every turn, but from the standpoint of the soul. This is Aimé Cartier, and you are listening to the Intuition for Changemakers show. I am glad you are here. I see your numbers on the screen when I look at the show stats. Over 16,900 listens by now. Almost 17,000. Yay. It makes me glad. And it's a perfect segue into something deeper. Because here is the truth. Despite what we are taught, it is very, very likely that your soul does not really care about the numbers. It's very likely that your soul does not care about fame or fortune, two or maybe the only ways that society measures success. These may be your birthright. They may not. Maybe you think you want them. Maybe you crave bigger experiences, and there is zero wrong with that. Maybe you are destined for bigger experiences or aimed at them, and this is why you have these visions. Great. This isn't a suggestion that you should remain small. But regardless of whether the typical markers that society tells you are important are actually a part of your story, What I think is definitely worth noticing and checking into is what your soul actually feels success is made of. I had this dream recently. It was so revealing to me in the ways that dreams often can be, at least for me and the other dreamers out there. You know who you are. If you are a person whose dreams reveal insights, you already know this about yourself. Don't waste a single moment doubting if that is one of the ways your intuition moves through you or your guides communicate with you. Just grab a hold of the insight and run with it. If this is not you, if you are not a person who remembers her dreams, for example, that doesn't mean a thing. There are many ways for a soul to speak. Okay, so here are parts of the dream that I had, the parts relevant to today's topic of success from the perspective of the soul. In the dream, I was marrying Donald T., current president. I was aware he was not my soul's equal. But in the dream, I was aware and more of a watcher. Like I wasn't having any emotional response to the fact that I was marrying this man. After the ceremony, I thought, well, I now have as much money as I could possibly desire. With about that much enthusiasm is how much I had that thought. I even had the thought in the dream, I can now give mass amounts of money away to movements and causes that I care about. Even so, I was unmoved. I found I didn't care at all about the money. Even thinking of all the good it could do, I was just unmoved by all of it. Even that wasn't enough. I just didn't really care. I'm telling you all this because money is something that we all think we care about, including me. And certainly, if you are underwater, if your monetary resources do not allow you to care for yourself, this is an important item to consider. Absolutely. But I'm talking about a different tone than that here. I would say universally, people feel as though they would like more money. We are taught that having a lot of it is a symbol of status and success. But does your soul really care? I know many people, friends in my life, who have made choices time and time again that afford them simplicity and the ease that comes from that rather than big bucks. It reminds me of this audio recording I once heard on Instagram. I made a meme of it or like a story or a reel at one point. I think the audio is from Esther Hicks. This is how it goes.
So when people say, what are you doing? You say, things that please me. And they say, toward what end? And you say, pleasure. And they say, but really, what are you working on? And you say, having a good time. And I say, but what do you hope to accomplish? And you say, living happily ever after. And they say, but what do you want to leave as your legacy? And you say, I was a happy one. And they say, but what is the mark that you want to leave? Life is joyous. But what is the value that you see in contributing to this time-space reality? I'm joyful. But what do you hope to accomplish? Being happy? It's hard for people to wrap their thoughts around that, and yet that's what all of existence is about, you see.
If you are moved by shiny objects, or if you think you are moved by shiny objects, I would still encourage you to investigate, to see, is that really what moves my soul? If it is, right on. High five. Now you know, and you can adjust your life accordingly. You'll be able to more easily make sacrifices or choices that require your acquisition of shiny objects if you understand that that is a current that is important for you to swim in, that these items or these experiences are important to your soul. But I have to say, well, what my dream revealed to me about me, and also for many other, your route might be a little different. What I'm really trying to say is that so often we put a lot of importance on dollar bills when our soul doesn't really care about this at all. It's not actually the end goal. You can't even leave with your money in hand. It stays on earth. I can tell you that when I do readings, I often see the particular movements that a soul is in. Often within this is woven the understanding or the information about what is actually truly important to my client's soul. It's not just one thing that a soul cares about, but there are themes and experiences within a soul's goals, tendencies, skill sets, and successes according to that soul that look very different from the fame and money flags that are always waved about by us individually and as a society. Getting to know those can be very useful. Like sometimes what a person deeply values is not embedded in their daily experiences, or the road to these satisfying experiences doesn't come in the way they are trying to accomplish it. There is no formula. Each soul is different in age, in skill sets, in gifts they have to offer, in experiences we came to have. Your soul knows what moves it. Myself and my solutionary members spend some time on this in one of our lessons. But even if you're not a student of mine, your soul knows. Even if you feel you have forgotten, it knows what actually moves it. Like my dream was showing me, it is hard to motivate me just for dollar bills. It's just not a language that really excites my soul. So anything done just for that is unlikely to have longevity for me. I can try to fool myself into thinking I will be motivated to this activity or another for the sake of money and the experiences that the money can buy me. But for me, it never lasts. For example, here is a true story, maybe surprising, from my past. I once quit my job as an activist because I was completely burned out, and I decided to sell meat. It literally makes me laugh out loud when I think of it now. Like, I decided to drive one of those freezer trucks around, going door to door, offering people a screaming deal on a side of beef or like 1,000 steaks for their freezer. I was somewhere around 22 years old at the time. I didn't and still don't have a problem with steaks, and who doesn't like a good deal? But although I had spent a lot of time knocking on doors, going door to door to raise money and awareness about recycling and environmental campaigns that were happening, I realized once I started this job that I had nothing in me that could convince someone that putting a bunch of money into a side of cow was a priority. I could talk all day, and literally did, about how protecting wildlands was worth every penny and inspire donations to that end. I had zero qualms asking for money for that. Asking for money for deals on beef? I just couldn't. So despite its apparently very lucrative possibility, my meat selling adventures lasted 3 days, pretty much just long enough for me to be trained and understand that I did not care one whit about this. I absolutely did not have it in me to close a single sale of door-to-door beef. What does door-to-door beef selling have to do with my soul's success story? Absolutely nothing. Is this true for you too? Then we have that in common. Wonderful. Maybe you didn't even have to try this out to know that, like I did. Okay, joking aside, I am going to leave you today with two questions. Two questions to help you access your own deep wisdom and to find out what success really means to your soul. Question one, what is important to your soul? What is important to your soul? Question two, ask yourself this. What does success look like for my soul? What does success look like for my soul? And as you ruminate, remember, you matter. You are not alone. We are here together. As you are enough. All my love. Whoop, whoop. I don't know. I just felt like starting this segment like that. Hey, two things. One, I just updated my summer calendar for doing readings and I added some more times. So if you feel like you need a reading from me, head on over to amaecartier.com/psychic-readings to find out more and reserve your spot. And I'll put a link in the show notes too. Number two, if you want to be able to recognize your intuition, I have a self-study class for you. It's not too long. You'll be able to complete it in a weekend, maybe less, but it is essential. The practice and usefulness of it will be lifelong. You'll walk away knowing the definitive tell that the voice of your intuition does and does not have. Do you know what peace of mind that gives you? The next time an idea pops up, the next time one floats in, you will be able to know, hey, this is my intuition speaking. In other words, it is a good idea. It would be useful to follow. Or this is not my inner knowing. All the details, you can find them at amaecartier.com/knowintuition. That's know as in knowledge. I'll put a link in the show notes too. All my love. Thank you for listening. I made this show for you.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.